And it's my distinct pleasure to welcome back to the broadcast someone we talked with a couple of times over the last 3 years in this broadcast, someone who has been in the media to the United Nations what our own Senator Norm Coleman has been in the Senate to the United Nations, from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, the Wall Street Journal, National Review Online, Pajamas Media, and a potpourri of other press outlets, our good friend Claudia Rosette. Welcome to the Northern Alliance Radio Network, Claudia.
Great to be here. Hi.
Hi, Claudia. This is Ed. First off, it's been a pretty interesting week at the UN. We've had the end of the Kofi Annan era after 2 5-year terms as UN Secretary General, and he kind of went out with a bit of a splash attacking the United States and the Bush administration. And now we've got somebody who we probably don't know very well, Ban Ki-moon, who's going to be taking his place. You had a great write-up, by the way, a terrific write-up on the speech that Kofi Annan should have given. Can you tell us a little bit about that speech?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I read it as a fundraising. It's Kofi Annan's first post-UN fundraising speech, even though it was advertised as his farewell to the UN. This was just a broadside attack on the Bush administration. It's really kind of hard to imagine unless he'd, gotten out crayons and scribbled on the on the walls, how he could have been less seemly or more ungracious in his farewell. This is a man who's been Secretary General of the UN for 10 years. The UN, which includes among its member states, its vocal member states, you know, Iran, Cuba, Syria, the endless sort of Chinese fiddles behind the scenes, the club of thugs. And he gets up to say goodbye, and he goes to Harry Truman's hometown, President Truman, who founded the UN 61 years ago, hoping it would do good things. And in the Truman Presidential Museum and Library, he dedicates himself to attacking the Bush administration and basically telling the people of the United States, you haven't lived up to what I want. You aren't doing what I want you to do. You need to do more of it. That was the gist of the speech.
Yeah, it was remarkable. I mean, I don't recall having ever heard any Secretary General or anybody from the UN except for, and I can't remember the man's name, the one who's in charge of aid.
You're probably thinking of Mark Malik Brown. Yes, Mark Malik Brown has singled out Rush Limbaugh and Fox News and the American heartland, sort of implying that anybody who listens to these outlets or watches this TV station is somehow, Mark Malik Brown implied that they were just complete idiots, incapable of making up their minds about anything, simply sitting there receiving. It was quite offensive. Mark Malik Brown, who has specifically over and over against the UN Charter attacked the Bush administration. Now, Mark Malik Brown rents a house on the very nice estate of left-wing tycoon George Soros just outside New York. And the scuttlebutt around the UN, we have no proof of this right now, but word is that George Soros is preparing to make a very large donation to Kofi Annan's future doings.
Well, that wouldn't be terribly surprising. I mean, George Soros funds a lot of very left-wing think tanks and foundations, isn't that correct?
And bloggers.
And bloggers, yes.
Yeah, that's correct. And we now have, that's why I say Kofi Annan's speech attacking the U.S., specifically, you know, basically Kofi Annan didn't like the choice of American voters. He's been propped up for the past 2 years by Clinton's former ambassador to the U.N. Dick Holbrooke has been the sort of advisor behind the scenes, which is already kind of partisan politics. So the U.N., which is not supposed to be meddling in politics of any member states or involved in partisan politics of member states, certainly not the U.S., but this whole thing is a very interesting sort of devolution of what the UN was supposed to be. We have top UN officials busy. You know, let me back up for a minute. Kofi Annan's job is spelled out in the UN Charter as Chief Administrative Officer of the UN. When they set it up, the member states were supposed to run the thing, and you had a secretariat to sort of carry out their orders. Here we have, that is his job. He has restyled himself as, in his own words, quote, chief diplomat of the world. You know, who he represents is a good question. But, and he goes off to Independence, Missouri to specifically lambaste the member state that has done the most to fund the UN, lends credibility to the UN, in fact, supports the UN. It's an amazing scene. It was the kind of thing where every time you think about it, or every time I would look at the text again of his speech, it would get worse. You know, it's what he did was so sour, so self-serving, so ungracious, so
Kofi Annan.
It's
just typical Kofi Annan over the last couple of years, isn't it? I mean, it's sort of what we've been used to. And him being the chief diplomat of the world might have been forgivable if he had actually been doing his job as an administrator. But over the last 10 years, the UN has just absolutely sunk into a swamp of malfeasance, of corruption, of double dealing. And in the case of their peacekeeping forces, which is something that he used to be in charge of before he became Secretary General, of prostitution and child abuse.
That's absolutely right. In fact, it's interesting. If you look back on Kofi's career, you know, he's been with the UN for more than 40 years. He took some time out to go try and run tourism in Ghana. That was the, you know, pole vault move in the middle, but in the 70s. But other than that, he's been with the UN until the 90s. He was a paper-pushing administrator. In fact, into the 90s, his business was not, in fact, diplomacy. It was budgets and personnel and all the things that the UN does with great corruption and very badly. When he finally did move into areas involving policy, what did he do? He ran peacekeeping and sat there passively while the genocide took place in Rwanda. Yeah, the genocide, the massacre in Srebrenica. And then, thank you, Madeleine Albright and Dick Holbrooke, he becomes Secretary General and brings this combination of, I think Paul Volcker couldn't bring himself to say anything nice about this, substandard management skills, basically.
Non-existent, yes.
Exactly, and morally bankrupt diplomacy. He brings together this stunning combination in 10 years as Secretary General and emerges from it regarding himself as chief diplomat of the world and moral guardian of the United States. That's could you make that up?
No. In fact, what I was joking about when I was writing on my blog is that his outbound speech sounded like something that you would have written as a spoof, which is actually how we got in contact this week.
Yes, in fact, when I read that on your blog, someone said to me, "Hey, look at this," and I thought that's very funny because I had been listening. I just listened to a speech and was thinking. National Review Online had said to me, "You want to write something saying goodbye to Kofi Annan," and I was thinking how on earth to go about that. I thought, well, it seems to me the most tempting way is I'll just rewrite his speech for him. And then you put that out. It was too perfect.
Oh, it was
great.
I had to.
It was your blog that made me think, all right, this is the way to go.
Well, thank you. Well, and just before we leave Kofi Annan, I mean, he was there for 10 years, 10 years of the 61 years that the United Nations has been in operation. Has there ever been a 10-year period as bad as the 10-year period that we've seen with Kofi Annan? I mean, just from a historical perspective.
No, and the competition for bad is ferocious. You know, you had Kurt Waldheim affiliated with the Nazis, you know, in Germany.
You had the involvement in the Congo in the 60s, which was certainly not a shining moment. But
exactly. Yeah. In fact, we had emerged in the early 90s from the whole Cold War scene in which the UN turned into a Soviet spy-infested platform for a Soviet propaganda, expansion, Khrushchev banging his shoe, Arafat toting his gun, you know. It was not exactly an edifying place then. It has gotten much worse in a couple of ways. One is it's gotten a lot bigger. You know, Kofi Annan has turned it into a business with the advice of people like Mark Malik Brown, like a fellow now shacked up in China, Maurice Strong, the guy who took $1 million check from Saddam Hussein and told investigators he forgot that he took it, you know, and didn't know where the money came from. That was wonderful because where the money came from was an Iraqi who walked into a bank in Jordan with a bag of cash, deposited it in a bank account, and issued a check the same day to Maurice Strong, which was carried to him by a South Korean businessman who right now is in a federal prison, convicted last summer of trying to rig oil for food by bribing UN officials from the start.
And he was not necessarily Mr. Clean to begin with. He was involved in a major political scandal. I think it was in the 1970s, wasn't it?
Yeah. In fact, over and over again. He's right now busy working with the Chinese authorities on various business projects. He was Kofi Annan's personal envoy to the North Korea, basically, to the Korean Peninsula, from 2003 to 2005, as the nuclear crisis there got worse and worse. And we now know he was using among his consultants in this capacity his old business associate, the same guy I just mentioned who's now in federal prison for convicted of carrying bags of cash around to try to bribe UN officials in the mid-90s to rig oil for food in Saddam's favor. The same guy who, in fact, did a deal for immunity in the Koreagate bribery scandal where he was accused of indicted. He was charged with, he was part of a conspiracy to bribe Congress in the 70s. But,
right. That's
hey, let's stick to the past 20 years of corruption here.
and we probably should move on because Kofi is now history. And now that we have Ban Ki-moon, who's going to take over, this is going to be a golden age of the UN, right? Because Ban Ki-moon is just going to clean all this stuff up.
Yep, folks, it's all over. We can close up shop and go home. I want you to know you can rest easy. The UN is going to fix the Iranian bomb problem, stop North Korea, stop focusing obsessively on the Palestinians as the source of all moral virtue in the world, and everything's going to be fine. However, on the chance that I'm wrong, Ban Ki-moon is pretty much unknown as far as how he's going to really deal with the UN. I think it's unknown even to him.
Well, in fact, Claudia, I'd love to talk about Ban Ki-moon when we come up. We need to take a break right now real quick. But I'd love to talk about the new Secretary General and the
who he is
and this hagiographic coverage he's been getting in the media, to the extent he's been getting coverage at all, when we return on the Northern Alliance Radio Network with Claudia Rosette. We'll take your questions, too. Of course we will.